Bernie Sanders addressed a crowd of more than 8,000 at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center on Thursday, March 31, 2016. This is the full, unedited recording.
Thank you so much. What an extraordinary turnout. I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank Alex Austin. I want to thank Scott Swanson with United Electrical Workers, Kelly Verb with the Steel Workers, and Mike Smith and Ryan Gaines were with the steelworkers as well. Let me begin by introducing myself to the people of Pennsylvania, because I think a lot of folks don't know who Bernie Sanders is. I am Senator from the state of Vermont. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. My father came to this country at the age of 17 from Poland. And I grew up in Brooklyn in a 3.5-room rent-controlled apartment. And like millions of other families throughout this country, I grew up in a home that did not have a lot of money. We struggled economically. And the lessons that I learned growing up about what it means to live in a family that has to struggle every day economically is a lesson I have never forgotten and never will forget. We began this campaign 11 months ago, and when we began it, our campaign was considered to be fringe, not a serious campaign. Well, a lot has changed in 11 months. In the last 2 weeks, we have won 6 out of the last 7 caucuses. And we've won them all by landslide victories. We started this campaign at 3% in the polls, 60 points behind Secretary Clinton. The poll came out last week, a national poll, had us 1 point up. We are fighting hard in Wisconsin, which has their primary on Tuesday, then to New York, and then on April 26th, here in Pennsylvania. And with your support on April 26th and a large turnout, we're going to win here in Pennsylvania. Now, I have been criticized for a lot of things in this campaign, and one of the criticisms thrown at me is, well, Bernie Sanders can't win in a general election, can't defeat a Republican. CNN poll last week, Hillary Clinton did very well. She was beating Donald Trump by 12 points. We were beating him by 20 points. And that is true. That is true of virtually every national poll that has been taken in the last several months. It's the same thing in battleground states. Poll taken just the other day in Wisconsin. Hillary Clinton beat Trump by 10 points, not bad. We beat him by 19 points. And we are doing better against other Republican candidates than she is. Not only can we win the Democratic nomination, we can win, with your support, the general election. Let me take a moment to talk about some of the very serious differences that Secretary Clinton and I have. Number one, it is important to know how people raise money for their campaigns. When we began this campaign, way back when, we had to make a decision. Do we establish, like every other campaign, a super PAC and beg billionaires for campaign contributions? That's exactly what we concluded. We have done it a different way. We have gone to the working class and the middle class and said, we will stand with you if you stand with us. And in 11 months, we have received over 6 million individual campaign contributions. That is more contributions than any candidate in the history of the United States of America. Anyone know what the average contribution is? Right, $27. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg, this is a campaign of the people, by the people, and for the people. Secretary Clinton has chosen another approach. She has several super PACs. In the last reporting period, her largest super PAC reported raising $25 million from special interest, $15 million from Wall Street. The Secretary has also given, as you may know, speeches behind closed doors in Wall Street for $250,000 a speech. You know, I think that if you get paid $250,000 a speech, it must be an extraordinary, mind-blowing, earth-shattering speech. It must be a speech that reveals all kinds of truths. It must be a speech written in Shakespearean prose. And that is why I think the Secretary should release that speech to the whole world. Now, Secretary Clinton says, well, she is prepared to release those transcripts if other candidates release their transcripts. So I have here this morning a major announcement to make in Pittsburgh. I am announcing that I will release all of the transcripts of all of the speeches that I have given to Wall Street. Are you ready? Here they are! No transcripts, no speeches, not for $250,000, not for $2,000, not for $2. I just don't know why Wall Street has not invited me to speak before them. You know, I got my cell phone on, I'm waiting for the call. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that I would tell them that their greed, their recklessness, and their illegal behavior has done enormous harm to millions of people in this country. And maybe I would tell them that we bailed them out because the big banks were too big to fail, but three out of the four largest banks today are bigger than they were when we bailed them out because they were too big to fail. And maybe I would tell them that when financial institutions like Goldman Sachs reach a settlement with the government for $5 billion because of their illegal activities, maybe some of their executives might face criminal justice charges. And maybe I might tell them that we have to reestablish Glass-Steagall legislation. And most importantly, when so few financial institutions have so much economic and political power, we are going to break them up. Maybe that's why they have invited me to speak to Wall Street. I don't know. Now, Secretary Clinton and I also have a very, very different perspective on trade. And you've heard some of the folks from the United Electrical Workers and the steel workers talk about what trade and our disastrous trade policies have done to working people in this country. When I came to Congress in the early 1990s, I didn't need a PhD to understand that these trade policies were written by corporate America for one very simple purpose. And that purpose was to not have to pay workers in this country a living wage. The purpose of these trade agreements was to enable them to shut down factories in Pennsylvania, in Vermont, and all over this country and move to low-wage countries where they pay people pennies an hour and don't have to deal with unions or obey environmental regulations. That was the purpose of those trade agreements, and that is exactly what has happened over the last 30 years. We have lost, since 2001, almost 60,000 factories in this country and millions of decent-paying jobs. There was once a time when people could get a job in manufacturing, earn good wages, good health care, decent pensions. Those jobs increasingly are gone, and the new jobs are McDonald's and Burger King. Let me just give you a very few examples of how our disastrous trade policies have impacted the people of Pennsylvania. 2013, General Electric announced that it would be eliminating 950 jobs at its Pennsylvania locomotive plant in Erie, moving many of those jobs to Mexico. Last year, Allegheny Technologies shut down two steel plants in western Pennsylvania, laying off 600 workers, moving to China. 2009, Hershey shut down its York Peppermint Patties plant in Reading, destroying 300 jobs, and moved that plant to Monterrey, Mexico, where workers are paid a fraction of the wages that workers here were paid. In 2008, Sony closed the last TV manufacturing plant in America in Westmoreland, destroying 560 jobs, and moved that plant to Baja, Mexico. And on it goes. I have opposed from day one in Congress every one of these disastrous trade agreements. Secretary Clinton has supported virtually every one of these disastrous trade agreements. Now, my message to corporate America is your greed is going to end. You're not going to continue to deindustrialize the United States of America. You're not going to continue to shut down plants here and move to cheap labor abroad. You're not going to cut the wages and benefits of American workers and give CEOs huge compensation packages. Together, we are going to create an economy that works for all of us, not just the 1%. Then there's another issue that Secretary Clinton and I have disagreed on. All of you know that foreign policy and military policy is one of the very important things that a president does. Back in 2002, I was in the House. Secretary Clinton was then the senator from New York. And we both heard from President Bush and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld. Both heard about the need to go into Iraq. Well, I listened very carefully to what they said. I didn't believe them. I voted against the war in Iraq. Secretary Clinton voted for the war in Iraq. And let me just say this. I know it is very easy for politicians, especially Republicans, to really talk tough about war, war in this country, war in that country. In my view, we must destroy ISIS, which is a barbaric organization. But we can and must do it without sending our brave men and women in the military into perpetual warfare in the Middle East. no more stupid wars that our young people die for. And it is very easy for politicians to give rabble-rousing speeches about the need to go to war, because it is not their kids who are going to go to war, it's your kids. And by the way, while some of these guys talk big about war and sending our young people off to get killed and mutilated, they sometimes forget about those people when they come home as our veterans. And that's something we will never do. We will stand with the veterans. Now, this campaign is doing so well because we are doing something unusual in American politics. We are treating the American people as if they were intelligent human beings. And we are telling them the truth, even if it's a hard truth. Truth is not necessarily pleasant, not in our personal lives, not in our political lives, but you cannot go forward unless we address the real crises facing this country. Crisis number one. Today we have a campaign finance system which is corrupt and is undermining American democracy. Democracy is not a complicated idea. You got to vote, and you got to vote, and you got to vote. Democracy is not about billionaires buying elections. When the Koch brothers and a handful of billionaires are going to spend $900 million in this election cycle, that is not democracy. That is oligarchy. We will not accept it. And that is why we are going to overturn this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And when Republican governors all over this country are trying to suppress the vote, trying to make it harder for people of color, for low-income people, for elderly people, for young people to participate in the political process, we will stop them. And I say, and this really gets me, because I believe, you know, I've run in a lot of elections. Sometimes I've lost, sometimes I've won. That's democracy. But I really, really get outraged by Republican governors who do not have the guts to participate in free and fair elections. And I say to those Republican governors, if you don't have the guts to participate in an open and free election, get out of politics, get another job. But it's not just a corrupt campaign finance system that we have to deal with. It is a rigged economy. Here is what a rigged economy is about. You don't see this on TV too often, don't read about it in the newspapers, but this is what a rigged economy is about. It is about today the top 0.1% now owning almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. It is about the wealthiest 20 people in this country owning more wealth than the bottom half of America, 150 million Americans. It is about the very, very rich getting richer and almost everybody else getting poorer. It is about the Walton family, the wealthiest family in America, owning more wealth than the bottom 40% of the American people. A rigged economy is when you have the Walton family, the owners of Walmart, paying wages to their employees that are so low that many of those workers have to go on Medicaid or food stamps. And you know who pays for those food stamps and Medicaid? You do. So I say to the Walton family, the wealthiest family in America, get off of welfare, pay your workers a living job. You know, it's a little bit stupid. It's a little bit stupid when struggling working class families have to subsidize the wealthiest family in America. We're going to end that. This campaign is listening to working people all over this country. And what workers are telling me is they cannot make it on $8, $9, $10 an hour. And that is why we're going to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, $15 an hour. This campaign is listening to disabled veterans and senior citizens who cannot make it on $11,000, $12,000 a year Social Security. Many of my Republican colleagues in the Senate, they want to cut Social Security benefits. Ain't gonna happen. We're going to expand Social Security benefits. This campaign is listening to women. And what women are saying is they are tired of working for 79 cents on the dollar compared to men. And I know that every man here today will stand with the women in the fight for pay equity. This campaign is listening to young people. And what the young people are telling me and what their parents are telling me is, why is it that with a huge increase in productivity and an expansion of technology, why is it that unless we change this economy, the young generation today, for the first time in the modern history of America, will have a lower standard of living than their parents? That is the American dream in reverse. We will not allow that to happen. And young people, you know, they're saying, Bernie, our parents, our teachers, everybody said, it's important that we get the best education that we can. that in a global economy, we need the best educated workforce in the world. And then these young people are asking, why is it? After we did what we were supposed to do, we went out, we got a good education, why are we $50,000, $70,000 in debt? We should not be punishing people for getting an education. We should be rewarding them. You know, 50 years ago, high school degree, you got a high school degree, the likelihood is you were going to go out and get a pretty good job, make it into the middle class. The economy has changed. Technology has changed. People need more education today. And that's a fact. So in my view, a college degree today is in many ways the equivalent of what a high school degree was 50 years ago. And therefore, when we look at public education, great, for the decades, for 100 years, first grade through 12th grade, public education, free education, fantastic. But the world has changed. And in my view, when we talk about public education today, it must mean making public colleges and universities tuition free. I want, I grew up in a family, my parents never went to college. I want every kid in Pittsburgh in the fourth grade, in the sixth grade, no matter what the income of their families may be, I want those kids to know that if they do their schoolwork well, if they take school seriously, yes, they will be able to go to college. And we have also got to substantially lower the level of student debt in this country. And that is why I believe that people with student debt should be able to refinance their loans at the lowest interest rates they can find. Now, people say, well, Bernie, you're Santa Claus, you're giving away all of these nice things. How are you going to pay for it? Well, let me tell you exactly how we are going to pay for it. 8 years ago, after the greed, the recklessness, and the illegal behavior on Wall Street drove this economy into the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, a downturn that millions of Americans have yet to recover from, Congress bailed them out. I believe that now is the time to impose a tax on Wall Street speculation. If we can bail Wall Street out, now it is Wall Street's time to help the working families of this country. All of you are aware of Republicans running all over the country talking about family values, how much they love families. But I want everybody here to know exactly what they mean. What they mean is that no woman in this huge room, in this state, in this country, should have the right to control her own body. I disagree. What Republican family values mean is that our gay brothers and sisters should not have the right to marry? I disagree. Now, I have been married, Jane and I have been married for 27 years. We're blessed with 4 great kids, 7 beautiful grandchildren. But when we talk about family values, it is a very different set of values than Republican family values. When we talk about family values, it is about ending the international embarrassment of the United States being the only major country on earth not to guarantee paid family and medical leave. That is a family value. Today in Pennsylvania or in Vermont, working class women are giving birth, but they will have to separate themselves from their beautiful newborn babies in 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because they have to go back to work to earn income to take care of the babies. You're right. You are absolutely right. That is a total disgrace. And we will join the rest of the world. We're going to pass 3 months paid family and medical leave. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the African American community. And they are asking me, how does it happen that we have trillions of dollars to fight a war in Iraq that we never should have gotten in, but somehow we don't have the money to rebuild inner cities all over this country? I was in Flint, Michigan about a month ago, and honest to God, the discussion that I had with parents there is something I will never forget as long as I live. Talking to parents who have seen the cognitive capabilities of their children deteriorate over several years because their kids were drinking poison water. But it is not only Flint, it is cities and communities all over this country. Water systems falling apart, wastewater plants, educational systems, healthcare systems. We have got to get our priorities right. We can rebuild inner cities in America. I have been in African American communities where there is no grocery store, where there is no bank branch. People have got to go to payday lenders and get ripped off, unbelievably. We will change that. And when we rebuild inner city America, we create millions of jobs doing that. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the Latino community. There are 11 million undocumented people in this country. Many of them are being exploited, living in fear, living in the shadows. They want, I want, comprehensive immigration reform and a path toward citizenship. This campaign is listening to the Native American community. Native Americans have been lied to, they have been cheated, the treaties they negotiated have been abrogated from day one. That has got to change. I am a member of the U.S. Senate Committee on the Environment. I have talked to scientists throughout our country and throughout the world. Climate change is real. Climate change is causing devastating problems in our country and around the world. And climate change is caused by human activity. We have a moral responsibility to leave this planet in a way that is healthy and habitable for future generations. We have got to work with countries all over the world, China, Russia, India, all countries. Take on the fossil fuel industry, transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. Every major country on Earth, every major one, the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Holland, Scandinavia, Canada, every major country on Earth guarantees health care to all of their people as a right. Now, the Affordable Care Act, and I'm on the committee that helped write the Affordable Care Act, has done some very good things. We have done away and eliminated this obscenity called pre-existing conditions. We have managed to keep young people up to 26 on their parents' plans. We have added 17 million people to the ranks of the insured. We have done away with discrimination against women who are paying too high prices for their health care premiums. But, this is an important but. Today, 29 million Americans still have zero health insurance. Many of you who do have health insurance are underinsured with high copayments and high deductibles, all right? And every person in this room and in this country is getting ripped off unconscionably by the drug companies who are charging us the highest prices. Drug companies who are charging us the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. You want to hear about crazy? Crazy is one out of five Americans get a prescription from their doctors. They cannot afford to fill those prescriptions. That's crazy. Crazy is elderly people in this country cutting their pills in half because they can't afford to buy the medicine they need. Crazy is the top three drug companies last year made $45 billion combined in profits. They make huge profits, and people die in this country because they cannot afford the medicine they need. Meanwhile, on top of all of that, we end up paying far more per capita for health care than do the people of any other country. Almost three times the British, 50% more than the French, far more than the Canadians. And that tells me that the time is long overdue to understand that in America, we have got to recognize health care is a right of all people, not a privilege. And that is why we need a Medicare for All single-payer program. And that program will save middle-class families thousands of dollars a year on their health care bills, save small and large businesses substantial sums of money, and will improve the health of all Americans. Now, everybody in this room knows that real change never takes place from the top on down. It always goes from the bottom on up. Our brothers and sisters here in the trade union movement know that 100 plus years ago, when workers had no power on the job at all, they're working 7 days a week, 14 hours a day, they could be fired arbitrarily, that in order to gain dignity on the job, millions of workers all over this country came together and they said, we're not animals, we're human beings, and we are going to form trade unions. And it is the trade union movement that has helped build the middle class of this country. And if I have anything to say about it, we are going to make it a lot easier for workers to join unions. All of you know that not just for the last 50 years, but for hundreds of years, African Americans and their allies came together. And we don't know how many people were killed in the fight for racial justice, how many people went to jail, how many people were beaten. But we do know that millions of people stood up and said, racism, bigotry, segregation is not acceptable in the United States of America. Ago, 100 years ago, not a long time from an historical perspective, women in America did not have the right to vote, could not get the education they wanted, could not do the work and jobs they wanted. That's 100 years ago, no time at all, but women and their male allies came together. Women went on hunger strikes. They went to jail. Some of them died to say that in America, women will not be second-class citizens. If we were in this room 10 years ago, which is no time at all, 10 years ago, and somebody jumps up and says, you know, Bernie, I think that gay marriage will be legal in 50 states in this country in, say, the year 2015. Person next to him would have said, what are you smoking? You're crazy. Which raises a whole other issue, but but here's the point. The point is that the gay community and their straight allies, against horrific levels of hatred and bigotry, they stood together decade after decade after decade, and they said that in America, people should be able to love the people they want, regardless of the gender. Let me give you another example, even closer to home. Just listen to this. If we were here, say, 5 years ago, somebody jumps up and says, you know, Bernie, this $7.25 federal minimum wage, that's absurd. It's a starvation wage. Nobody can live on it. We got to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The person next to him would have said, $15 an hour? You want to double the minimum wage? You're nuts. You're crazy. You're radical. It can't happen. Maybe $8 an hour, maybe $9 an hour, $15 an hour. Be realistic. And then you know what happened? As a result of the efforts of the trade union movement, people in the fast food industry, in McDonald's, in Burger King, in Wendy, they went out on strike. They stood up. They fought back. And then you know what happened? The impossible became true. Seattle, $15. San Francisco, Los Angeles. Oregon, California, New York State. And if I have anything to say about it, $15 an hour in every state in this country. What is my point? My point is that change takes place historically and now. When people stand up and they look around them and they say the status quo is not acceptable. When the exploitation of workers or racism or sexism or homophobia is not acceptable, we change things. And in my view, that is where we are at this pivotal moment in American history. From coast to coast, I've been all over this country. People are looking around them and they're saying, wait a minute. Why do we have more wealth and income inequality than any other major country on earth? Why do we have to work 2 or 3 jobs to cobble together some income? Why are we the only major country on earth that doesn't guarantee health care to all and paid family and medical leave? Why are our kids graduating school $50,000 or $100,000 in debt? Why do we still have institutional racism? And unarmed people being shot by police officers? Why are women making 79 cents on the dollar compared to men? Why aren't we more aggressive in saving this planet from climate change? And people are looking around and they are rejecting the options that the corporate media gives us. They are rejecting the options that Congress gives us. And what they are saying is we can create an America that works for all of us, not just the few. Let me just tell you what no other candidate for president will tell you. I very much appreciate all the support, but nobody, let me be clear, so we lay this out on the table here, no president, not Bernie Sanders or anybody else, can do what has to be done in transforming this economy, protecting the middle class by himself. Can't be done alone. The truth is that Wall Street, corporate America, the wealthy campaign contributors, and the corporate media who tell you what you should see or not see are much too powerful. The only way we make change is the way change in this country has always happened, and that is with a political revolution, millions of people standing up. On April 26th, there will be a very important primary here in Pennsylvania. If the turnout is large, we'll win. If it's small, we'll lose. Please do everything you can to make sure that Pennsylvania helps lead this country into a political revolution.